at your service. It's the Home Improvement Show, presented by Mosby Building Arts. To ask a question, call 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. Now the host of the show, Rich Orris.
He said, Rich Orris here for you today, sitting in the big chair, answering your questions, seeing what you have going on. You got any DIY projects going on? You have the honey-do list sitting in front of you, trying to figure out maybe what to use or what might be the best method to get through something. We can help you out right here today, 314-436-7900. Anything you need around your home, home maintenance, home remodeling, we've got you covered today. We've had some good conversations, a couple of good questions. And I appreciate, again, Greg calling in at the top of the last hour to help us out and really describe what's in the older mortar and the right way to do older brick and how it should be done. And that's a great. And we got pretty deep into also where some of these issues can lie. I know a lot of St. Louis homeowners in St. Louis City with older homes that have had a lot of trouble in finding different things and have been trying to fix a chimney leak for years and years. I've seen tons of them. And sometimes they're really hard to pinpoint, and sometimes it's the way the wind blows and the rain drives. And I've also seen a lot where there's a gutter, just kind of like a gutter spout, like a scupper right there where the roofs come together at a valley and then the chimney's kind of right in front of it. That's a pretty common near the front porch chimney in older St. Louis homes where once that kind of gutter scupper hole through the metal part of the roof with shingles kind of around it clogs and things move uphill. Or when the other thing we didn't really touch on is freezing when it snows and snow piles up there and you lose heat from the house and that starts to melt underneath and then it refreezes at night. It actually, everybody kind of says everything runs downhill and water's only going to go one way. And it really doesn't only go one way. When it freezes, it can grow uphill, up the roof line, under the shingles, and cause ice damming. So that can be another kind of symptom that is hard to detect and find. And so you find yourself fixing 10 different symptoms on this older home, brick, flashing roof, structure, wood, all these different products coming together, and it really makes it tough, and it makes it can be very ongoing over years and years, and you get rid of it for a couple of years, and then you're like, oh my gosh, it's back, but it could be something completely different for all we know. And it could be one of 10 things. And in the past 10 years, you've fixed 4 of 10 things and you still got 5 or 6 that could be happening. So you just never know. And then sometimes it goes back to the original where the first thing you did was had it tuck pointed and then other things happen. But then now it's been 10 years. You don't really realize it's been 10 years. You think, well, when did we do that? 5 years ago? You lose track of time. And all of a sudden you realize someone's out there going, you need tuck pointing again because some of it's falling out and getting bad and cracking and things are moving and you're back to step one. So you fixed 8, 9, 10, and then you're back to 1 again in the same kind of area, same kind of work. So it can be hard to keep up with, but don't let me deter you from older homes because newer homes have just as many issues sometimes when everything's not complete. I can tell you about a lot of that also, but let's pause here for a minute and get to Mildred and see what's going on with Mildred's tuck pointing. Are you there, Mildred?
Yes, I am, and thank you so very much for what you just introduced and what was said by your last guest that you want to bring on later on this month.
Uh-huh.
Because he touched on some points that I'm right now getting bids on. As far as people want to do tuck pointing, they want to do the chimney liner, but no one wants to look at the flute, per se. And I know from having a bid a couple of years ago back where I did have an inspection that showed that my flute, the house was built in the 1939.
Uh-huh.
The flute is cracked, so I know there is that problem. And like you stated, I had the furnace vented out, you know, not from the chimney, but out, you know, from the wall. But I have the hot water heater going up the chimney, and I do have that condensation. I do have where it needs tuck pointing. But my question to you, as far as your knowledge, should the flute repair be done before tuck pointing, before chimney lining? How do that work? And what is the name? The other question is, what is the name of the person that you were talking to? What was his company?
His company was English Sweep.
Okay, I got an appointment. Okay.
They're great to talk with. They'll do the camera, all that work. And they can explain, too, because when you have a clay flue liner, it's like a bigger 8, 10, 12-inch square clay pipe coming through. If all you need is a water heater venting through that big opening, then the flue liner can actually kind of fix the crack. It doesn't fix the crack, but the crack isn't important anymore, because if you put a flue liner from the bottom to the top, it will take all those bad gases from that water heater out through the top, and it will get rid of them. And so the crack in the existing flue liner, kind of halfway in between the top and the bottom, isn't very important anymore, because you're not getting those carbon monoxide gases and that warm air in that entire cavity. Now, the one place you may still want to or need to fix that crack liner is where it exits. If that liner exits out the top of the chimney and that has a crack in it, when they put the new metal liner inside of that, you need to do something to that crack where the clay pipe sticks out of the top of the chimney, because then you could get water through that crack. So I've seen them a lot of times, they replace the masonry cap on top of the chimney, they'll replace the flue that just the top couple feet, so that the clay pipe isn't cracked anymore at the very top where it exits the chimney. So that'll keep water out. Then you put your flue liner, but you do not necessarily need to correct or fix the cracked flue liner of the clay pipe all the way down to the basement, because you'll have the metal liner in place of it.
So you're saying that flue liner, I'm trying to think of the terminology. Am I on the right track with you?
Uh-huh.
I understood what you stated. So, that'll be something I'll have to discuss with them. But
yep.
Like you said, Rick, though, one thing, like you educating a lot of people that might have, thinking that they might need just tuck pointing on the outside, it might be other factors on the inside that'll show up later on, and you're suddenly putting money into the same area, and you're wondering what's going on. And a lot of contractors, some only deal with tuck pointing.
Yep.
Others don't want to put the flue lining down. They don't do that. They don't do the camera work. They don't do the inspection of, if you got a, like you say, if you got a fireplace or whatever you might have in your home, they don't even do that and all. So you are skipping points and you just adding on problems later on. You're doing, in other words, put the band-aid on a bigger problem. And like you say, that moisture, especially moisture and condensation, is extremely bad. But
yes.
Thank you so very much as far as also the how much of the how far should they be putting in as far as if there is tuck pointing to be done. That's another story that need to be just continually talked about because the homeowner do need to be educated, and we're not educated because of the factor that these things are not told. And you get a bid and you thinking you're getting something repaired, and yet you're not.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. Because sometimes they'll put on there what they call a scraping point, where all they're doing is taking a metal tool and hand scraping it, and that makes it very thin. Or you got to, is it a true grind where they're plugging in a grinder and they're grinding out deep enough to where it's actually, it can have longer lasting value? Both are ways that tuck pointing gets accomplished. One will just actually last better and longer, have a longer life expectancy than the other. So it's kind of how much time are they spending. But hey, Mildred, thanks for the call. Great, great topic. And I know we could do this probably for the rest of the hour, almost at least, with so much information on how to try and get all of this right and correct. I think my main point is just to try and get enough information in front of homeowners to say, ask good, pertinent questions and understand other areas to be able to check into that too, because not everybody does, and they'll do all this work and they won't even understand the flue liner and the stuff inside. And they're like, well, I only do the outside, so why would I? But so it's good to try and look at all the aspects of all of it to find out for sure. But hey, we're going to jump into our break. We'll have plenty more for everybody. 314-436-7900. Again, finds me right here. And we'll be back after these messages.
It's the Home Improvement Show, presented by Mosby Building Arts. Once again, Rich Orris.
Plenty of time left for everybody. Plenty of time for your calls, your conversations, your questions, what's going on. 314-436-7900. You got that honey-do list. I know you feel like me, not enough time to get through it, trying to figure out where, what, when. Well, let's see if we can maybe make it a little bit easier on you and make sure you get it done right the first time with some correct products and all of that. And, you know, jumping back in a little bit to the conversation with Greg and with Mildred and what's going on in some of these older houses, there are ways to actually fix that flue liner. If you've got both units going up through it or fireplace and you're not changing the fireplace and you need a flue liner, if that's the correct size, you can have a brick mason get in there and take the chimney apart and completely rebuild it and put in new clay liners that'll work. There are ways to kind of line the inside of it, clean it up and line it, going through with equipment and fix some of those cracks and really kind of fill some of those cracks to keep them going out the top of the chimney. So there are other ways to do this. It really just depends on what you need and getting the right people to look at it and ask those questions. And sometimes there's solutions that are even outside that box that can help you out just the same, or maybe even a little bit better. Maybe we can get into some of them here shortly, but we've got Bob on the phone here. Let's see what's going on with Bob. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. I've got a concrete driveway, and where the pieces of concrete come together is, maybe spots or maybe the size of a dollar bill that are breaking off. And is there a way of filling those patches that are?
Yeah, where kind of the surface is breaking out.
Yeah.
I mean, there is the main thing to know is that, well, one, you're still going to see it because of the different materials. difference in the materials.
Yeah.
And you still want to make sure you try and keep water and just moisture out of it, because it will, once you fill that, it's very likely to pop out again. Let me ask you, where some of that's broken out, do you see like white rocks or a white stone?
Yeah.
So you've got limestone down there that's absorbing moisture, water. It freezes in the winter. It expands and it pops that surface. So you can, what you want to do is you want to really clean it really well, maybe even seal the driveway with a sealer, and then you can put some like concrete patcher in it to kind of fill it and smooth it out. But you'll see a big color difference. So sometimes it's kind of, it's up to you whether you really feel like you want to fill that in or not. And know that driving over it and water getting underneath it, that could last 10 days. It could last 10 years. It's hard to say how long that patch will be in there and how often, but you could be repatching that every couple of 2 or 3 years of it just breaking out again, especially if it's big, like a dollar bill.
Yeah. Is there any particular product? I saw a product called Overcrete. Have you ever heard of that?
I have not, but there are products for filling that stuff that you just kind of squeeze out of a bottle. And for they use it for filling in between the control joints and everything, too. It's kind of like a self-leveling caulk, sort of. I have seen different, like, concrete patchers like that you just kind of pour in out of a tip of a bottle and have it fill it. I'm not sure if those are any good, better, worse than a normal concrete patcher. One thing you can do if you do a normal concrete patcher too is you can put a little kind of like concrete adhesive material, almost like a clear glue, they kind of brush on and then put that patcher on, and that might buy you some longer life expectancy, some time too. I've seen that done by some concrete people. But yeah, most of that stuff you can find to get at the big box stores, and it's just a maintenance issue from there. How often you need to redo it. Hopefully not very often for you.
All right. Thank you very much.
Yeah, absolutely. Not a problem at all. It's another common St. Louis topic with our cold winters, the amount of freeze thaw that we get every year. When you look at, if you ever look it up, we have cycles where if we drop below freezing overnight and then we get back up above freezing during the day, and that's a lot. Our temperature swings. We get so hot, we get so cold. That's a lot of what wears us down and our products and our homes down in St. Louis, is having that happen so often. It's the same in the mortar and the brick, on the driveway, on patios, everything. It's just really rough on those surfaces. And then the salts and what they put on the roads, and you drive that, even if you don't use salt on your driveway, you bring that to your driveway from the highway on your tires. And I've seen driveways with just tire tracks. You can just see that's where they drive, and that's where the driveway's coming apart and spalling so bad. And they're saying, oh, I never use salt. And we're like, but the street right outside does, and you bring it on, and it just tears things up. So it's a maintenance concern, and maintenance is very important. I think maintenance can be just as important to your home as remodeling, as far as getting your investment back and having a sound home that people will want to purchase. So remodeling's great for the everything, getting your return back and getting people to actually desire your home. When you look at return on investment, you look at the types of projects that get the biggest returns, most of them are outside. They're on the front of the house. They're the front door. They're the windows. They're the porch. there's stone on the front, the type of siding that you have, because it gets people to your house. And so you get a better immediate return on some of that because it's just curb appeal. It's getting people there. Maintenance can be the same way. I will never forget some of the houses that me and my wife has looked at it over the years. And she's a nurse and I do what I do. And she would be in a home like, oh, wow, what's that smell? What's this? And you can just tell the home that didn't have the maintenance. It's a pretty immediate turnoff, even to people that know nothing about homes. That's when you can start to tell. So keep it up, maintain and clean and scrub and paint, and just that will just help it last longer, get a better lasting value out of everything for all the homeowners, especially here in St. Louis with everything we got going on. Seal your driveways, caulk the expansion joints, caulk the house, caulk the siding, make things airtight better, and it will just maintain that house for you over the years a lot better for you. So, hey, we're going to jump into our break here, but don't touch that dial. Stick right here. You can find me again, 314-436-7900. Give me a shout right after these messages.
MOX Weekend at Your Service, sponsored by Air Comfort Service Heating, Cooling, and Insulation.
The voice of St. Louis, News Radio 1120, KMOX.
All right, everybody. Rich Orris here, Home Improvement Show for you. Phone lines are wide open, ready to go. 314-436-7900. We're getting down to business. We're getting closer towards the top of the hour, so don't hesitate to get in. 314-436-7900. Let's sway the conversation just a little bit. We've talked a lot about the chimneys and brick and mortar and now driveways and keeping the moisture out and flue liners, and trying to explain to Mildred, like, that metal flue liner, just to kind of clarify too, when they put that in and it starts at the top of the chimney, it goes all the way down. It will go into the basement and hooks directly to that appliance, that furnace, that water heater, whatever you're hooking it to. Same thing with like a fireplace insert. We've done a lot of those where you do an insert inside that firebox. You put that new liner to the top of that, and then that, you know, it hooks right to the firebox, goes straight out the top. So it kind of closes off where those gases aren't getting to the cracks in the bigger metal clay liner. So that's how that can safen that up. But let's chat here for a minute about, well, something we've been seeing here for months and months, like we said, pretty much this whole year, and hopefully it's going to have the slowdown now, but so many storms, so much insurance work, so just hail and tornadoes and multiple tornadoes. I don't even back in like March when I was flying back in from Vegas earlier this year, and the night we were trying to fly in, I think we had like 23 confirmed tornado touchdowns in the viewing area of St. Louis, and quite devastating, all the damage and the differences happening. But you've got insurance companies, and then you've got people coming in and out, performing this work. You've got companies trying to perform more work than they even can. And I've been involved in with Mosby Building Arts on looking at what's our sales goal for next year and how do we think we're going to achieve what we can achieve. And part of that conversation is, okay, well, production, how much can you even build and where are we striving to get with you? Because, I mean, it wouldn't matter too much if, I mean, we've got a lot of people, we've got a lot of employees, we do a lot, and we're building millions in work a year. But if we were to be able to get to a point where we can sell twice what we build, it's going to be pretty hard to get through everything and trying to keep somewhat of a balance how much backlog you have. But so now you've got these companies that all of a sudden their workload has doubled or tripled because of storms, and they're willing to do it for less and get this work from insurance companies, but they're trying to get through it all. And then you end up with a poor product, something not done well because maybe they hired subcontractors to come in from out of state. They're doing anything they can to get through these projects. And now you end up with an inferior project and product in the end because they just didn't do it right. They didn't get through it right. Maybe people didn't know what to do. And that's why here at Mosby, we've turned our old our warehouse at our office. We've got a new, bigger warehouse, and we're putting in a big design center there so we can help people with selections. So we've taken the smaller warehouse that we used to use at our office and literally turned that into a training facility for our field to teach them how to perform work, how to get it right, how to do this. Not many companies focus on these things, and not many companies have their own employees to focus on these things with. So they're basically bringing in subcontractors saying, oh, you know how to put siding on? Good, go put siding on. And maybe they do, maybe they don't. Maybe they're mediocre at it. Who knows? So I've seen so many clients that I desperately wish I could help more. And I could walk you even through a few of them in the past couple months. Probably the past 2 to 3 months, I've had three different clients that all have roof issues. They are all installed after recent storms. They all have bad work done to them and have work that needs to be either redone or some need to be completely redone. All of them were looking for some sort of help with mitigation, lawsuit if possible. How do I get this stuff corrected? I wish I could do more for them, but one of them even had five different roofing companies all inspect the roof, and every single one of them said, yep, it doesn't have the drip edge. It doesn't have the ice and water shield. It's got damage here. It's got bad flashing there. Everyone says you need a just got a roof and you need a complete new roof. I had another one that it was the type of the product that they decided to use. They went to a higher end, thicker shingle, and that doesn't work and line up with the existing step flashings and counter flashings. And if you've got a counter flashing on top of a shingle and you get a shingle that's 4 times thicker, it might not fit underneath that flashing. So now they're redoing stuff that they didn't realize was going to get redone. The homeowner didn't realize any of this. And now it looks bad. They're completely unhappy. There is some work done poorly that does need to be redone. Just last week, I was with a client in this one. Amazingly enough, it's from a hailstorm that it occurred out in O'Fallon, Missouri on March 14th. Of 2024 and still having issues trying to get work completed, they had issues throughout the whole job. The company broke off their hose bib. The company broke off the pipe that actually took the carbon monoxide out from the furnace to the outside. It broke it. It was dumping carbon monoxide into the house. Could have killed people. Flooded the basement, ended up with mold in the basement, mold in the attic from leaks. They had holes in the side of their house into their attic open for weeks and weeks while rain occurred, getting moisture and water and all the stuff in the attic. Talk about just a horrible, horrible situation. And they've had an engineer look at the house, tell them everything that's wrong, how they didn't put house wrap on the house. But now I'm back out there trying to explain to them that house wrap isn't really going to help you unless you remove the original siding. So they have original Masonite siding and flat board kind of sheet T111 type siding, we call it. on some of the areas that you can't put house wrap over top of a lap masonite siding and have it be effective. It's just not going to work. And around some of the areas around their bay, all the metal work they did around the windows, nothing's caulked, there's gaps, it's lapped the wrong way. Water is going to enter that above the garage. It wasn't flashed properly. I'm showing them and explaining why if you get wind-driven rains that hit over top of the garage, it is going to put water inside that wall, and it's going to rot out the trim, and it's this metal's going to be falling off around the garage door. We see it all the time. And that's from almost 2 years ago that they've been dealing with all of this happening. They're more than a year and a half into this of trying to get their home completed. She had to leave her home because of all the mold and the health issues, and her dog passed away from respiratory problems. I mean, talk about the most horrible situation ever. So between insurance and trying to get things taken care of and priced out accurately and quality people to do the work and meet the pricing is very, very difficult. Then you've got everybody coming in and just trying to get to all this work and make as much as they can and get as much as they can. And so then they leave people up in arms and having problems and stuff not done right. So this house, again, is looking at starting from scratch all over again, and they're going to be suing this company. And what a horrible racket that you get in the middle of. And I've even seen it over the years. You wouldn't believe it. The insurance company gave them the company to do the work, suggested, hey, use these guys. They always meet our pricing. Take them. They'll do all this work for you. And then when the work's done so poorly, they come back and say, well, we don't correct poor workmanship. That's up to the company. That's between the client and the company. So the insurance company paid the first time, but won't pay again for the poor work that the company they suggested do the work performed. So it's where do you shift that the responsibility of how all that happens? So, hey, we're going to get into our final break here. If you've got a question, you got something going on for the final segment, feel free to give me a call, 314-436-7900. If not, I might touch on what has happened with the house that exploded out in O'Fallon, Missouri about 3 years ago. We've got a lot of insurance and law details for that, too. So more to come right after this. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to the Home Improvement Show, sponsored by Mosby Building Arts. Once again, Rich Orris.
Got about 5 minutes, 314-436-7900. But for now, let's talk about a story. It hits really close to home, really close to my home in the St. Louis area, but out in O'Fallon, Missouri. If you recall, a home exploded. It was 3 years ago, three and a half, something like that. It was March 1st of 2022. And you want to talk about a racket of just not deserving to be in a situation because of what happened for all of these homeowners. Now, thankfully, no one was hurt in this blast, but the damage was absolutely massive. The home was completely leveled, and about 40 homes were damaged, some beyond repair. Families were completely displaced. Their homes were condemned, and then the insurance battles begin, and some have been going on ever since. So what happened, what investigators figured out, was a subcontractor working for a company installing fiber optic lines. The company's called Gateway Fiber, and so they struck a buried gas line, and that mistake triggered this explosion in this house. Now, they did know that it happened, and they were trying to get the gas company and the fire department. They evacuated, so that's why no one was hurt. God bless for that. But then from then on, though, it got even tougher for that neighborhood because one of the main reasons was the subcontractor's insurance policy was about $1 million. So that just barely made a dent in the millions of dollars in total damages. But to even kind of worse that entire situation, you got OSHA that looks into things and they determine that the subcontractor actually, they followed the utility markings correctly. So everything was marked and they followed the way they should. So then meaning that gas line itself probably wasn't marked properly. So in the end, good news too for that, there was no criminal charges filed, which nothing was obviously criminal. It was just a big mistake accident that just left many families. They were all left to fight through that inadequate insurance coverage, long, expensive lawsuits just to get their homes, try and get their homes rebuilt. I know one of the stories I read was talking about one of the neighbors that had $400,000 worth of damages, and the insurance company was offering them like $60,000 just because of the policy and how it's written and the way everything is. So I mean, what a tragedy to have to try and go through. But out of this came kind of some real change because a lot of residents, they started really pushing for some stronger laws, safety laws. So now, finally here in 2005, we got Missouri. They passed Senate Bill 133. So it adds some stricter rules for anyone doing excavation work. So now we're required to call Missouri 811 before any digging, and it has to be completed within 21 days of that call and those lines being marked. Another thing that got added in there, which is a really good thing too, is now when you're putting in new lines, new gas lines, anything, the utility lines have to include a detectable tracer wire, so then now they'll be able to be properly located, which is about a day late and a bunch of millions of dollars short for this neighborhood and all these families, but at least we're there and at least we're getting somewhere. so that's good. But the other really good thing that new bill does is it shifts more of the accountability onto the utility companies also, which are going to have more money, better insurance, which in turn, don't get me wrong, you're probably going to have your bills go up a little bit to try and cover all this as it has to happen. But that's okay because now you'll have more coverage for if any of this stuff happens, you're going to be better off. You're going to have better insurance to cover it. So now when they hit a gas line, if it's not marked correctly, that liability can fall towards the utility company, not just the company that was doing the digging. So the main takeaway here is before you do any digging, it doesn't matter if you're planting a tree, building a fence, having contractors install something, call that 811 first. It's free. It's easy. It can prevent these kinds of disasters, and it can prevent everyone in the neighborhood from having such a horrible time. But, hey, we're totally out of time today. Had a great time, great calls. I appreciate everyone. Remember, be good to your homes, be good to each other, and I will look forward to talking to everybody next time.